So once again, we're back finding ourselves with the crowd who had followed Jesus. And once again, we find the crowd speaking for us. The Gospel of John tells us that these people who had followed Jesus regarded him as a teacher. They witnessed his miracles, but also they know him as one of their own. They knew his parents, they knew his brothers and sisters. They watched him play and learn his trade. They watched him grow up and eventually leave home. So in other words, they know him, just like they know all the kids from their old neighborhood. And so they start to complain, because he is just like them, because he is common, just like them. He can't be all that special, and he certainly can't be the one God sent for salvation. And so once again, here the crowd speaks for us, because we're in need or distressed. When we're hurt or afraid, we want to see a God who shows himself in strength and with miracles. We want to call on a God who answers clearly and quickly. We want to rely on a God who is there when we need him. And so the crowd are put off. They're offended. They're angry at Jesus' suggestion that he is the man, just that he is a man just as they are. And the answer that Jesus is saying, the answer is, he is the answer to all their deepest longings and greatest needs. But yet he's a man just like they are. Now you think about this. Jesus is making a very bold claim. Now, whoever heard of a God having anything to do with the everyday things of life? Whoever heard of a God having anything to do with the ordinary and the dirty? Gods are made for greatness, not for grime. Gods are supposed to reside in the clouds, not down here with ordinary people. Whoever heard of a God who was willing to suffer the pains and the problems and the embarrassments of human life? So no wonder the crowd grumbles against Jesus. They think he's having a joke and making fun of them and of their religion. They think Jesus is mocking God's majesty. Even worse, they think that Jesus is mocking their own deep need for a God who exceeds the very life which is causing them so much difficulty. No wonder the crowd is upset. They know firsthand of their own failures and faithlessness. They know of their own doubts and their own fears and all of their betrayals and all of their broken promises. They know of their petty grudges and foolish prejudgments that harbor in their hearts. They know all the shame and the disappointment and regret that each person carries around on their backs like a snail carries its shell. And so if Jesus is really like they are, ordinary and everyday, then there's no hope. How could someone who is like them save them? And so they grumble because they're angry. Because they grumble even more because they're afraid. They're afraid that in the end, they're really not worth saving. So let's think about that this morning. Not a day goes by when I don't think just how fragile is the foundation upon which faith is based. The sermons I prepare are not the best that they could be. I am just an ordinary man. There's someone out there that's better and can do a better job than me. The water we use for baptism is not holy water. It's not special. It's not different. It's the same water that comes from the tap which we drink, which we bathe in, which we brush our teeth with. The same is with the bread and the wine that we use at communion. They're not special either. They are ordinary and they are common. Not worthy of God's attention, let alone God's use. And yet, we are bold enough to confess that God does use such ordinary things. We are confident enough to confess that God uses common things to achieve God's will and bring about God's salvation to the world. So why do we have such confidence to confess these things? We do it because Jesus was common. Because Jesus was ordinary. Because Jesus, who was human, was like you and me, and yet he was also uncommon. He was divine. He was the very Son of God. So this is the claim Jesus makes today in the gospel reading, the claim that offended the crowd who followed him, the claim which still offends men and women today, because we expect God to come in might, but God comes in weakness. We're looking for God to come in power, but God comes in vulnerability. We seek God in justice and righteousness, which is what we all expect from a God. However, we are found by God in forgiveness and mercy. This is the claim and the promise Jesus makes today, that God came to planet Earth disguised as a human, as ordinary, as common. God took on flesh and became like us so that God might save all people who come to him in faith. And so this is our God, the God who does not despise the ordinary, the God who does not despise the common. This is the promise that rests behind the sacraments. God does not despise water. God does not despise the bread and the wine. God does not despise ordinary things or common things. And therefore, we know that God does not despise or abandon us, because we are ordinary and we are common. We also find in the sacraments another promise which God makes to us. The first promise is that he will redeem us. He will redeem the ordinary and the common. And the second promise is that he will use us. God will make use of our skills and our talents. Inadequate as though they might seem, God uses his church, ordinary and common people, to continue God's work in creating, redeeming, and sustaining all that is. We are Jesus' hands and feet, and that's an incredible promise. So just as God uses ordinary bread and ordinary wine to bring about God's saving word, so God uses each of us to accomplish God's will and work in God's world. Now, I know it's hard at times to see God at work through the labors of our lives. For this reason, God gives us the sacraments, because at the waters of baptism and also at the Lord's table, God speaks to us most clearly. God speaks of his promises of forgiveness and acceptance. God speaks of his promises of wholeness and of life. At the waters of baptism and at the Lord's table, these promises are given in a form that we can hear, but more importantly, we can also see, taste, touch, and feel. And so the sacraments call us to raise our eyes from the confusion of this world, so that we may receive God's faithful, provoking promise. His faith-filled, provoking promise. So that we may return to this confusing world outside of these four walls, filled with courage and filled with hope. And so this is why I come to church, my friends. This is why I come to church, to hear God's word and to receive sacraments, God's sacraments, and to be touched by the presence of God. So we come to this worship service, whether in person or whether through online live stream, and we leave God's service in God's word to go into God's world. Let us pray. God of love, you have loved us first and continue to love us. And this is our call this morning. We come before you, a people longing to love you in return. We hunger for your healing love in our lives, for we long to love ourselves and our neighbours. Come to us this day and fill us with our longing. In Christ's name we pray.